told him. Well, for now, nothing's going to spoil my fun.
Hey, Mickey!
Ah, my first encounter with the peasantry.
Where'd you go, Mickey?
Mickey.
Come here, you little mutt. Come on, give me that secret handshake, Nick. Come on, put your hand up here. Come on, swing it down.
Oh, yes, that is me. Mickey Mouse, peasant of Blar. My good man, you must forgive me. I'm dreadful with names. Could I have your name?
What's the matter with the one you got? I'm Goofy, remember?
So I see.
Welcome to the Real Bits One-Shot Interview Special. I'm Richard Gray. I had the distinct pleasure of talking with Bill Farmer at the Melbourne Oz Comic Con in July 2013. Bill Farmer has been the official voice of Goofy for the last quarter of a century. He's also voiced Pluto and Horace Horsecollar for Disney, in addition to doing a lot of other voice work in practically everything you can name, including Space Jam for Warner Brothers in such iconic characters as Foghorn Leghorn. He's also voiced the original Sam in the Sam & Max video game. In 2009, he was named a Disney legend, and it's easy to see why. We hope you enjoy this interview as much as we did. Well, first thing I wanted to ask you about was getting into the voice acting industry,
yes.
Which is taking you back a bit. And I'm sure, it's something that you get asked a lot. But growing up in Kansas, was it?
Yes.
I believe. How does that translate to wanting to be a voice actor, or the career, or the idea of even being a voice actor?
It's about as far away as you can get from Hollywood. No one in my family on either side was ever any kind of a performer in show business in any way, shape, or form. I was just one of those kids that I liked to watch cartoons when I was a kid. And I would, you know, turn the TV tuner back and forth trying to catch all the Saturday morning shows. And some of my favorites in those days were, of course, the Warner Brothers characters and some of whom I've voiced over the years, like Bugs Bunny. Oh, brother, ain't I a stinker? Or Daffy Duck. Oh, brother, you're despicable. Hoo-hoo! You know, and Rookie and Boo-Wee-Coo, Boo-Wee-Coo-Dee-Boos.
And you had Kermit the Frog. And all the Muppets.
So I was practicing those when I was a little kid, never thinking it was going to turn into anything.
Mm. And then I believe you did, you still do some stand-up, but
yes.
You were doing stand-up in the 80s, I believe, in Texas.
I started in 82 in Dallas, Texas at a club there. And it's the best training there is for voiceover or for anything in theater, because if you can do stand-up, you can do just about anything. It's probably the most difficult. You know, on a Friday night, you got a drunk crowd, and you got 45 minutes to go out and make them laugh. And sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. And a crowd will let you know real quick if you're not funny. So you learn. You have to learn how to perform and what works with an audience. And that comes in handy later on, because when you're recording a cartoon show or a movie, quite often you're alone in a booth with just a piece of paper with the script. You have to rely on the director, but if you know how to deliver a line so that it's funny or whatever the director wants, how to act that line, it's going to go much easier for you.
So the getting the voice gig for Goofy, I understand that was just a regular audition for you.
Yes. It was one of my first, I think it was my first animated character auditions after moving to Los Angeles. I didn't know how big it was. I didn't know this was, I knew Goofy was an iconic character and that he was my favorite Disney character, but I didn't know if it was for one project, for two, whether I'd be doing this forever or whatever. Because it's not like they have a big contract, you're now the voice of Goofy forever. No, it was for one job, and I went in and did that, and I was terrified doing that. And then they called me back about a month later and then kept calling me back and over, and now they've had me on about 3,500 different projects.
Well, of that time, I mean, you've been doing Goofy for something like 26 years 20, now.
Yeah, 27 now.
27 years now. And so first of all, what is still the appeal of that character, and how do you keep it fresh after so long?
Well, all the Disney characters, Mickey, Donald, and Goofy are kind of the premier three. There's something classic about, they're classic characters. Goofy's the funny one. Mickey's it's like a comedy team. Abbott and Costello, Laurel and Hardy, all of those. There's kind of the straight guy who's Mickey. And then Donald kind of has, everyone's got Donald in him when he's frustrated and mad about the world and stuff like that. And then there's Goofy, who's an eternal optimist. He can fall off a mountain and he'll just, better get up back up there, you know. And he'll just pick himself up, dust himself off. That optimism and friendliness and good nature, it just kind of appeals to people and always has.
When you first took over the job, there'd been two people who had been closely associated with the character before that. That was Pinto Colberg, of course,
yes.
And George Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Did you look to them much? I mean, did you look to their performances much to
develop
that?
Absolutely. They wanted it to be as close to the original, who was Pinto Colberg.
Mm.
So I looked to classic cartoons like Boat Builders, Lonesome Ghosts, and that era, mid-30s, cartoons, the classic Goofy was where I kind of pegged the voice at.
Mm.
And that's what I copied on the audition, which was basically just redoing some of the lines. They just gave me a cassette on a Friday afternoon. I practiced over the weekend, went into a booth at my agent's, laid it down, and they liked it. And probably the laugh is one of the harder things to get, and the but you know, I practiced it, and it kind of came fairly easily to me, and I guess it was good enough for the audition.
I'm sure Disney was a very different place in the 80s to what it was in the 1930s. Was the presence of Walt still very much there at that stage?
At the beginning, yeah. There's always been a fantastic community of people that love all things Disney and kind of kept that legacy alive that Walt had. And if Walt was about anything, it was innovation and new, trying new things. And Disney's always been at the forefront of doing that. From, I think, one of the first to have the Disney Channel. You know, right when these new technologies came out, Disney was using these, releasing the old movies on VHS, and everything was new. People hadn't really done that much before. And so any new technology that came along, Walt definitely was one to take advantage of it and go with it. And seems like Disney's done pretty well with that. And then with the addition of Pixar and all of their great movies, they still realize that story is the king. If you have a good story, and Walt was always insistent on that, the story has to be there. Same with John Lasseter and Bob Iger, and story needs to be there. And if you have that, you're halfway home to a good film.
Well, as you said, Goofy's not the only voice that you're famous for, and there's been quite a few others over the year. One of my favourites from quite a while ago was a voice you did for a video game, Sam from Sam and Max.
Oh, Sam and Max. Oh, yes, I'm his original voice on that.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And, I mean, I was reading something recently. I think Steve Purcell, the creator, was saying that your take on it was very dry and you weren't trying too hard to sell the character.
Yeah.
The process of a video game, how different is that to regular voiceover work?
It can be quite difficult because there's so many branches that you can take a character in a game. There are a lot of just standalone lines that you have to do depending on what the player does. You'll get a big book with thousands. I remember doing Sam and Max which had tremendous writing in it, one of the best games I've ever done. I sat in a little booth with a microphone, and it wasn't even a good studio. I was just on a wooden chair with a microphone about here and a big folder of lines. And, that's a completely unusable thingamabob, you know, this kind of thing. And just doing over and over and over again for days on end into a laptop. And they didn't even have a studio for that, because they just did it into a laptop, recorded it right there, took it back to LucasArts, and came out with a game.
Hello.
This doesn't look like the Lincoln Tunnel, Sam.
Looks to me like a marginally volatile hostage situation, Max.
Ooh, does this mean we get to kick some puffy white mad scientist butt?
Can't think of a reason not to.
Wonderful. Now, of all those many voices, do you have a favorite beyond Goofy?
Oh, yeah.
Or is Goofy the favorite?
Of the Warner's characters, Foghorn Leghorn. I say that boy don't pay attention to me. Is always a great one. Bugs Bunny is a classic, of course, iconic. Oh, brother, ain't I a stinker? Which I've done in a few episodes of Robot Chicken. Warner Brothers is not like Disney in that they haven't really settled on one voice and set it in stone who's doing it. Different directors, different projects can use a different cast. Whereas Disney, when Michael Eisner came in, they wanted one voice for, you know, they had a guy at Disneyland doing all the voices. They had a guy in Florida kind of doing that. They had a guy for records doing recordings as some of these characters. But they wanted one actor to portray Goofy whenever you heard it. Mm. And so I've been the exclusive voice for 27 years. And Wayne Allwine did the exclusive voice for Mickey. Russi Taylor did Minnie. And you've heard the same. And I think kids can tell when there's a different voice. It just doesn't sound right.
The one of my favorite Goofy projects, and I believe it's one of yours as well, is the Goofy movie.
Oh yes, that's my favorite one.
And is there a reason why that's so special to you?
We got to stretch him as a character, add new layers to him, kind of find out what makes Goofy tick. He's not just funny; he's got to be a caring father too. He's got to have like this angst that his son Max is kind of lying to him and trying to get him to this concert. It was also my son, it was about the 4 or 5 when that came out. And so as I was bonding with him and he was kind of finding out what I did for a living, he could see this on the stage. I think it confused him terribly because he didn't know if he was Goofy's son or my son or Max's brother. He didn't know what. But one story that kind of, we were on the Disney lot and we had seen a pre-screening of it. And when we came out of the screening, Austin, my son, was crying. And I said, well, what's the matter, buddy? And he said, well, when Goofy was going over the waterfall, I thought that was you. You know, and so, oh, wow. He kind of putting us together. So that's when I guess I melded with Goofy and have been part ever since.
Are you okay, Maxie? What did you say?
That's right. A vacation, son. We'll spend some real quality time together.
I think I'm gonna be sick.
Hey, got a present for you.
No, can't stop. I can't look without what things to do it.
You look just like I did at your age.
Please don't say that, Dad.
The one of the other things you've got coming up, I believe, is, or you're appearing at very least, is in a documentary called I Know That Voice.
Yes, yeah.
And which is
John DiMaggio is putting that together.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's about the voice acting industry generally. And do you find, I mean, after all these years, I mean, you've got, you know, a significant presence at various conventions and online and so forth, but do you find that you're recognised, or did you find that voice actors still don't quite get the level of recognition they perhaps?
They're getting more. And that's a good thing, because they're just as good actors as anyone you'd see on television. Same kind of technique, same kind of thing. You got to be a good actor. People are taking more interest in who are doing the voices, who are behind the characters that they love. Used to, yeah, I think we kind of got a backseat to this kind of thing. There weren't voice acting, you know, Academy Awards or Emmys. And they've added some categories recently to that, which is a really nice recognition. Mm. I got an award a couple of years ago, the International Family Film Festival. They had the Friz Freleng Award, and they've done it since like 1985. And I was the first voiceover actor to get that award. Mm. It's kind of a lifetime achievement award, and I was very honored that they not only chose me, but they chose a voice actor, because it is a great craft, and I like to see it get honored the way it really should be.
And, of course, we've just seen in the last couple of weeks some brand new Goofy shorts have come out. Is it great to be working back in that kind of short format again? Because you've been doing the TV series for quite a while.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I also love anything that's going to be theatrical. We don't do enough of those. We had one of the old how to install your home theater, which I really had fun with. I'm not featured in that too much, but I thought it's a great cartoon. The new shorts, Mickey Mouse shorts, yeah, we're getting to stretch the character. It's much more adult than, say, Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, which I enjoy. Mm. The scripts are really funny, and they're a little out there a little bit. There's even one coming up where Goofy is a zombie. Okay. That one, yeah, that's going to be a fun one. I think people will enjoy that. I hope they do.
I'll be right with you fellas in a minute. Hey, can't you clowns read? The sign on the door says, no shirt, no shoes, no service. I'm trying to run a classy establishment here.
I'll look forward to it, Bill. Thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure.